Kristen H. Her home group is Foundation Stone, and she has 19 years of sobriety. Thank you for joining us, Kristen.
Thank you. Half of the room left. I like it. Hey, everyone. I'm Kristen. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 10th, 2000. I picked 2000 because I don't have to do the math. It's not by choice. Like you said, my home group is Foundation Stone. We're in Linden Hills. Yesterday, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary. It was very nice. It's very pretty. I want to thank you all for inviting me here. When I moved here 10 years ago, my first group, my first meeting in Minneapolis was Bridge to Shore. And it was a very special thing for me. And I'll get a little bit more into that, why that was very special, maybe a little later. I had 3 cups of coffee, so I'm a little, you know. I want to tell you, because the topic is spirituality, and I want to tell you then maybe first how I got to this program, because I think that, not how I got sober, but more how I got to the program, because I think it's been, that's where it kind of like came, like that's where it got defined. So I have a couple of disclaimers. God has given me many gifts, and when I'd been sober for maybe 6-8 months, I remember feeling numb. And I had this prayer. I said, like, I would like to have more emotions. I would like to be more emotionally present and have more emotions. And God delivered. So I have my tissue ready. It's been 19 years of crying when I'm angry, when I'm sad, when I'm happy. And sometimes I'm like, seriously, this is a little too much. Can we tone it down? And most of the time I'm just like, here they come. So, but I also have a really bad habit of saying words that are not appropriate. And I've asked God to remove that from me too, and that has been slower. So when I cry with my potty mouth, I apologize. And this is one of the promises. Some come fast and some slower. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. The other disclaimer is that I have a lot of words. It's too many for many. So I would love it if someone would keep me on time. Thank you. Okay, good. Good. So I'm really happy you're all out here. I mean, if you hadn't come here, it would be me and Dennis and Megan and Mitch just like talking with each other. So I appreciate this, really. I like them a lot. I really liked what you had to say. And but I kind of like that we're all here. Spirituality for me is people in a room sharing the language of the heart. So I came, I messed up my life completely. Come from a really strong family of workers, and one of my character defects is independence. And I am a doer, and I can do it, and I can manage it, and I can make it happen, right? So I pulled myself up from the bootstraps. Is that what you say? Is that an American phrase? Thank you. Okay. I messed those up too, so bear with me. And I went to treatment, and I went to AA, dragged myself into meetings. And I did it, you know. I had like a, they gave me in treatment like a day planner. They said, make your bed, brush your teeth, swim. We used to do a lot of swimming in Iceland. So they were like, go swimming. I did that once out of pure resentment and frustration. I swam a mile. I almost yelled at every other person in the pool. And I got out of the pool and I realized it works. It's like I was so tired that I couldn't make it to the bar. So I was doing it, right? I was dragging my butt to meetings. I really got disappointed when, you know, they started talking about God in meetings. I'm like, oh, God, of course they had to get God into this. But, you know, 3 meetings a week was on the day plan, so I did that. And I kind of, you know, as I said, I dragged myself to do these things kind of day by day, like managing doing it, right? And I found meetings where people did a lot of this program, and they were talking a lot about this program, and I found a way to zone out every time they talked about God or spirituality. I was just like, so a lot of my meetings were beeped in my head. Beep, like, I came late, I beeped maybe, you know, 65% of the meeting, and then I left early. And then I checked my box, I'm doing it, right? And then it happened that that will happen to all of us at one point or another. I decided I was gonna go drink. I'm like, this sucks. This truly sucks. I have now rearranged my whole, I mean, I had a tiny apartment. I had like a living room, bedroom, kitchen apartment, like all in one. But I had rearranged my CDs. We had those back then. CDs, my books, my sock drawer, my kitchen cabinets. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. I had, you know, gone swimming once. And I was just like suffering. It's And I thought, I'm gonna drink. This sucks. And my other character defect is I'm oppositional as fork. Look at me, growing. I am really oppositional and defiant and stubborn. So before I left, I set out on a mission of proving you all wrong. That's you know, you're lying to me, right? So I decided to do, like, you know, in my very to-do mode, these 12 steps. I'm gonna go do them. I'm just gonna check them off the list, right? I'm just gonna go take care of them. And so the first thing you need to do the steps, I heard, was to get a sponsor. And I interviewed a lot of women. In my head, they did not know. One of them was a lovely woman. I really liked her. She was aspiring, and I thought she could be my sponsor. She could be my sponsor. She's worthy. And I was thinking about asking her, and I went to a meeting, and she shared in the meeting that she was moving to London. And because I am full of myself, I thought she knew I was going to ask her to be my sponsor. She's fleeing the country, basically. So I tried this really, really hard. I tried it really hard to figure out this, like, how do you walk up to another human being and say, I need you to help me. And when you're a doer like me, and with a character defect of independence, independence is good so far as it goes, but it doesn't go where I need to go. So I couldn't do it. I was tricked into washing cups. I didn't wash my own cups, but now every Sunday I was washing other people's cups. And I had this really, really, really annoying guy with me. He had just found God. It was, oh, God, shit. And he kept talking about it. And he kept talking about how this was changing his life. How he was the poster child of the pink cloud, if I've ever seen one. He was super happy. I was not. So we're doing the cops. I'm doing the cops furiously, with full on force, and he's drying them kindly. And he's talking about God, and he asked me point blank, do you have a God? And I kind of like sighed and just ignored him. And he said, try it. Ask God to help you. And I didn't give him a response or anything. But like, that was such a simple way to say it, right? Try it. And I couldn't get a sponsor because I couldn't get help. And I couldn't get help because I couldn't ask for help. Because I have a character defect that is one day going to kill me, I realized. So that night, I asked for help. And the thing is that, you know, we have our, spiritual experiences. I could fill the line in front of that mic, and you could tell me your spiritual experiences. And they would all be different, and they would have all the variety of everything. Like, they're beautiful. And mine was swift and powerful and brought me to my knees. And I woke up on the following day giddy. I am not a giddy person. There's happiness in my heart that I had not found in a long time. And I went to my women's meeting, and I walked up to a woman who the only thing I connected with her when she spoke was when she said, this program has given me the ability to wear pink. And I knew what it meant. Like, on a deep level, I knew what it meant. Is that I am so busy portraying to the world the image that I want you to have of me that I don't allow myself things like wearing pink when I want. And I knew that. And I asked this woman to be my sponsor. And I told her about my experience. She drove me home, and I told her what had happened the night before. And she looked at me, and she said, you've done 1, 2, and 3, now go right 4. And this is the biggest thing for me, is that I came home, and I had this newfound, the feeling is I stand on solid ground. That's the only way I can describe it. I stand on solid ground. There is something that holds me. There is something underneath my feet. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can feel it. And that's the spiritual experience that comes from taking steps that get you there. And for me, so I can dismantle this program word by word, logic by logic, theory by theory, but I can't do it without a higher power. I can do a lot of things. I'm a doer. I could not do this program without God. So one of the key elements of the spirituality for me is God. This higher power that I choose to name God, because it's something that has made the impossible possible and given me power to do things that I had no power to do. So that's one key element. Now, that key element for me hasn't been enough, because I'll also tell you that when I had been sober for a while after that, maybe a year later, I had this great idea. I mean, sometimes I think I'm brilliant. So my idea after a year of working the program was, I'll go drink. I just make sure that I keep praying to God and stick to honesty. So that's my brilliant idea, right? And that brings me to the other key component of my spirituality, which is people. Because by that time, I had learned to run my brilliant ideas by other people. And they didn't share in my brilliancy, and they did not, they said, you have to do more. I was like, God damn it. So people, there is something profound about people. I love people. I absolutely love the messiness of people and people's lives. And the thing is that most people in my world, don't know necessarily I'm an alcoholic, or that I go to Alcoholics Anonymous, or I have a spiritual program. But that doesn't matter. I can show up with that. I can be present knowing that like humans share a common thread. In AA, this common thread is amazing. It's just amazing. And the women who went before me and the women who have come to behind me have been kind enough to ask me to sponsor them. These are the fast tracks to peace and serenity and joy. God damn it, I've had fun these 19 years. Sorry about swearing. And then I keep adding that. So people and God, and then I need to have a program because I need the roadmap. I am raised by lovely people who were not alcoholics, who really taught me the right from wrong. And I had these like principles installed in me when I was a kid, right? I should add, I was also like a hyper-religious kid, which was really, really weird because no one in my family was. And I was just like, I don't know, all about Jesus and prayed feverishly, like on my own. And as I grew up, I became an agnostic. That lasted 5 minutes before I became a full-fledged atheist. And then I came to AA, and I think that the same thing has happened here. I came in a full-fledged atheist. I became an agnostic, had full faith, and then had some agnostic periods in between. So I have to have a roadmap. Like, I have to have directions. And for me, again, like, all the directions in the book are really, like, for me, the principles that I try really hard, sometimes really doesn't look pretty, but I try, to follow, I can't do without people and God. So it has to come together for me. It has to. You know, when I was thinking about, like, challenges with my spirituality, like you were saying, I'm like, well, I could just tell them about Thursday. like when I almost called Mike and said, I'm out. They don't want me. I have no spirituality. So I try. And that's everything I've learned about spirituality, I've learned in here. Everything I have, all the spiritual experiences I have experienced have come out of this program. And I think that, you know, and I could tell you about like how the program works for me and how I have been given opportunity to use them, which is a pretty benign and pretty way to say when I've gone through shit and I've had to lean in, right? But I think I want to tell you most about when I left AA. Because I think that shaped the last 10 years of my sobriety more than anything. I had been diligently going to meetings. I had a really good group of AA women surrounding me, filling my life. I don't want to say aggressive, but we were stern. You know, we had our way. This is how you work this program. It's our way or the highway. And, we were helping people. So and the book encourages this, I had looked for, outside of AA for spiritual practices elsewhere in terms of meditation and prayer, and found a really like-minded people that I practiced with for a long time. And I went, studied with the guru and all that good stuff. And their program, their religion aligned with AA very nicely. It was very, you know, they had their first step of like, that just like felt right at home. And I really, really, really felt that I had cracked the code of the religion problem that I had. And so I did that for a long time. And what happened is that I came to find that I had joined a cult. And and being driven by humans err, and bad things happened to many people in the cult. And this shook me to the core. And this, you know, changed a lot for me. I doubted. I had this like firm, blind faith in my program and this cult. I'm just going to call it a cult because it was a cult. And I had this like, I had a thought I had found the truth, and they told me I didn't. And everything came kind of crumbling down, and everything became a doubt. And I doubted, you know, I remember thinking, at least I have AA. So I went back to my AA, where my women were, and I could hear the cult speak too. You know, I could hear the, you know, the book, God, like all these things. And I couldn't sit there, and I couldn't relax, and I couldn't listen, and I couldn't connect. And I felt all alone in the world. So I decided to stop AA. I called my sponsor and I explained to her what was going on with me. I think she recommended that I would try some other meetings, but I couldn't hear that. So I stopped going to AA. I called my sponsees and I told them what was happening. And many of them were mature enough to engage in the conversation and were mature enough and with on their own spiritual sound footing enough to be a recipient of very like troubling news. And they were loving and kind to me. So I stopped going to AA and I stopped praying and I stopped meditating and I stopped reading. And my friends who have known me through all these years referred to this as Kristen's spiritual desert. And I think of that very fondly because that's how it felt like. I was really lost because what if it wasn't true? Like, what if it isn't true what you've been telling me, that God is there and I can trust him and I can rest in this, you know, this knowledge that I had that I found the solid ground. What if it isn't true? And I think that what saved me was that a year later, a year and a half later, I moved here. I came here to go to school. Remember, I'm a doer. And I lived in a commune of sober Icelandic people. And they tricked me to going to Bridge to Shore. Not only that, but they 10, thank you. That's good. I'm doing good. Everything I have is stolen from others, right? Everything I know has been given to me. I absolutely love metaphors, when people put something so complicated into a simple way of describing it, right? And, you know, I like the peeling the onion, right? I love that. Like, this program is about peeling the onion. I lose my layers of denial, character defects, like the gross ones went first. I've stopped overtly hurting people like I did, like I stopped, you know, I've stopped destroying everything around me, basically. Like, this, that went away. I stopped stealing, which was really big. And then it goes smaller, and I start to shed those layers that I keep, that I hold on to, that keep me disconnected from you guys. And as I shed the layers, I come closer and closer to my core, which I believe is where my God resides, right? The core that allows me to love you, allows me to love yourself, love myself, allows me to say help, please, and thank you. So I get closer to that core every time I allow myself to grow and let go of things. And I also, my Molly says, God is in the gut. And you mentioned this. He's like, I check my body. Like, I check how I feel about the things that I'm doing or saying, you know, and I have this gut feeling. And it's this intuition that I know that I'm, when I'm doing right or I'm doing wrong, right? I can check it now. But one of my favorites is my dear friend who tricked me to go to Bridge to Shore. And then tricked me to starting Foundation Stone. It's like easier because, you know, we live in a commune. We have like three kids. We're all sober, you know. Let's pick a night that fits our household to go to a meeting. Let's just create our AA. And we did. And we, you know, we stole from Bridge to Shore their format and borrowed it forever. Because I've stopped stealing. And then now I just borrow things forever. And we started a meeting. And the meeting, like what we strive to do is to open this notion up that we don't have monopoly over God. And my favorite metaphor is we're all on the way to Hibbing. Have you heard that one? So actually it started with Akureyri, which is a town up north in Iceland. He since has moved there. I don't know how spiritually humble he is. But he talked about Hibbing when we lived here. He says, like, we're all going to Hibbing. Our spiritual awakening is in Hibbing. Our spiritual... Yes, but there's so many roads to Hibbing. There's so many roads to Hibbing, and we can be running, biking. I don't know about those skiers, but they can go there too. And then, you know, we can go slow one day and fast the other day, but we're all on our way to Hibbing. And which is, you know, and that's my spirituality. Spirituality is not a theory. It's how am I going to Hibbing today? And sometimes I stop and I turn around and I head for St. Paul. But that's, you know. But then I'm remembering I'm peeling an onion. And one of the women who I adored when I was getting sober in my women's meeting, she was a powerhouse. I was scared of her. I was really terrified of this woman. She was very direct and she was very firm. And she went up to the podium and said, God bless her. She would love it if she knew I was quoting her. She would not. She's like, that's bullshit, but that's okay. She said, and I quote, I don't care what God is doing for you or what gifts you're getting from God. I want to know how you found him and how you're keeping a relationship with him. And she used the metaphor of spirituality is climbing a stair, but because we're alcoholics, it's an escalator that's going down. You better keep walking. Mm-hmm. I love that. I just love that metaphor. And I think that, like, I think it's true. I think it's like we as alcoholics, we have that inner self-destructive button, right? And it can be activated. For me, my safety, my sanity rests in that I'm walking the stairs, I'm walking the escalator. Doing the things, like doing it, not just talking about it or theorizing about it, but I'm trying really hard to do them. My son is 17 today. And I said to him, I'm going to a workshop with a bunch of AA people. I'm sorry, I can't spend your birthday with him. It's when I realized he didn't want to spend his birthday with me. he has his friends lined up for a good day. Thank you. Truly, he is there constantly reminding me to walk up the escalator. So are my really good friends here. I have lived here for 10 years. My commune left me. I have not forgiven them. I found a new family in Foundation Stone. And we are in Linden Hills at 8 p.m. on Fridays. I welcome you all. I'm sorry for the swear words. I have stopped apologizing for the crying. I thank you all for inviting me to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kristen. Now we're going to have some more time for roundtable discussions to digest that great share from Kristen on spirituality and her journey. After Kristen's talk, so this is the time that I would invite any or all of you to, maybe not all of you, come up to either of the microphones and please share what you've been discussing with the rest of us.
I am Barb. I'm an alcoholic. A few of the things that we covered that Kristen had mentioned was how hard it is to get that initial power to ask for help. Because there's an awful lot of us who come up here as very independent, self-sufficient doers. And I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. It took a while. Another big part is people. If we leave ourselves a little bit open, if we let ourselves work with the people in the program, we begin to find out that there is a touch of humanity in us that had been deeply buried during all our years of using. And program directions. I think my first prayers, I was not interested in God when I first got in here, and I had been in the convent in my younger days, and then, you know, had dismissed God, because I knew everything there was to know, as we sometimes do. When I got up here and started to work with my sponsor, she wasn't pressing that, but I realized she told me to text her anytime, just shoot her a text anytime there was a problem. And I look back at those times when I shot out a text and said, this is nuts. AA is crazy. These people are as loony as the Chicago City Council, you know, where I was from. And I would shoot out that text and I would feel better, you know. And then 20 minutes later, I'd get a text back that said something like, this goddamn disease that refuses to allow us to be present in the moment, right here, right now. And so gradually, I began to learn what alcoholism is, which is complete dislocation from right here, right now. And the solution, spirituality, is learning to be present right here, right now, and moving towards that. And I just want to thank you for that awesome talk.
Thank you, Barb. Who would also like to share how they have been spiritually enriched?
You can hear me now. Flo, grateful sober alcoholic. That was awesome. I spent my life walking up the down escalator and then stop walking because I got tired winding up in the basement. And I thought I was going to the second floor. It's the parable. There's a slogan that used to be on the walls of Alano's and meeting rooms. The express elevator to sobriety is out of order. Please use the step. That's sound advice, and it works. And hopefully choose something other than the down escalator when you're walking.
Thanks, Flo.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Mary. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for sharing, Kristen. Probably one of the first things that really kind of thinged in my brain was that experience that you had with the first sponsor and how they said, all right, you've done one, two, and three, now start writing four. And we were talking about kind of some of the rigidity, which sometimes we approach these steps. And I want to help people the way I was helped. And we read this book, and we get to the step, we work the step. And while that may be helpful, I'm helping someone the way I would have them be helped. Which is me just hanging out back in self-will and being like, well, I know how this thing goes. So I really appreciated that part of your experience where it was just like, ooh, she's there. Let's just, you know, meet her where she's at. And I think that's a really great insight. And then how, what else were we talking about? Peeling like the onion and how that is just such a useful metaphor and how it was just peeling things away. And I think I'm still using like pretty coarse sandpaper to smooth out some rough edges, and how you know you said something along the lines of like getting back to that core of the onion, probably the stinkiest part, but the part that can say help, please, thank you, which is where I'd like to live in that place, but how I related to like the deep in the heart of every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm supposed to know what it is when I'm born. And I think that you kind of helped me see that it's like, well, if I'm just smoothing it up, and we related like the rigidity that you were talking about with boundaries to it as well. So everything is kind of tying together over at our table this morning. So thank you, or afternoon.
Someone else can share. We've got time.
Paul Alcoholic. Hi. Kristen, I just want to thank you for your talk and for not calling Mike last Thursday to reconsider. And I think really what that really means is after hearing your story, you know, you stayed on that road after a lot of trial and tribulation, and you know, we're just grateful that you were able to be here today to share those experiences, because as we discussed, it ebbs and flows, and through some really challenging times for everybody. So to hear you here after 19 years and you know, still on the escalator with all those beautiful metaphors, we greatly appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing. We're going to take a minute to switch tapes.